Excision number 23213, reel 16.
Major Potts, reel 16.
You were saying that you decided it would be interesting to train as a ground liaison officer.
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to that particular?
I don't really know. I really decided that I wanted to do something practical,
yeah,
as against being a desk waller. And I thought perhaps I didn't really want to go to another colonial force or anything like that. I'd already done a colonial force. And so I thought, well, I'll put in for this. So I went on the air support course at the Joint Warfare Establishment at El Serum. And one of the parts of the course, which was 6 weeks, I think, was FAC. And then it became obvious, there was one other Marine, there was a Marine on it, and he was going to be an FAC, and I said, well, there was one of the course was to be an FAC with the Marines. So I said, well, you know, I'll go with the Marines. I don't mind going to the Marines. It might be interesting seeing they hang around in the West Country. So I put in, and anyway, I was selected, and I didn't do the commando course, in fact.
Manage to escape.
That's another story. There's always a story. So I went out to Malta to join Free Commando Brigade, who was stationed there. And I arrived just as the battle test, and the brigade major said, oh, you'll have to go back soon and take the commando course. And I said, oh, yes, sir. And anyway, we did the battle tests in Malta, and I was given a troop, which is equal to a platoon. And they said, that's your platoon for the battle tests. And one of the things was, we over 3 days, we had to, it was really warm, and we had to do all sorts of things. Anyway, all but about five of my Marines failed the tests, and I passed. So I said, well, I don't see I can be sent back on a course. If they've all, they said, here's your green berry, put it on your head and shut up.
What did this battle test consist of?
Oh, God, I think we had to do various things, shooting. The worst part of it, we had to do 12 miles in 3 hours on Malta roads. Have you ever been to Malta?
No.
They're red hot, those roads, and the little fields in between the walls. Anyway, and we had to swim a bay or two or something with all our kit. And
like the army's combat
pit. Yeah, but a bit tougher.
So
yeah.
Essentially moving across ground to a time limit in your kit.
Yeah, that's right.
And then shooting.
Yeah.
Did you have to go over an assault course as well?
No, we didn't. No, it was the 12 miler was that. That was more or less going round the island on 12 miles.
Well, there isn't that much room on board, isn't there?
There is room to do it, yeah.
And when you did the course at the air support course, what was the content of that, and what did they teach you about being a forward air controller?
Well, we did a forward air controller's course up in Scotland with the Navy at Lossiemouth,
yeah,
which was a fortnight. 2 weeks of transport, and 2 weeks on strategic bombing and stuff like that. I can't really remember, but it was in 3 2-week periods.
Well, what were the essential skills that you were taught as a forward air controller?
Well, it was how to basically how to fire to get an aircraft from IP initial point to a target. That's a bone of contention, because it had to point its nose. Sometimes they had a camera in, sometimes they didn't. But you can tell if it's pointing in the right direction. We did that at Lossiemouth. And
was there a lot of practical?
Well, quite a lot of practical, but there were about 10 on the course doing it. And so aircraft go US, or they don't turn up, or anyway, everybody got in 14 practice runs, if you like. You also had you had to do a number of flights. I think I did 5 flights in an aircraft on FAC, seeing what it was like from the pilot's point of view. Sea Vixens, and no, it wasn't Sea Vixen because you can't see out of a Sea Vixen. Seahawk, no, Scimitar, no, I can't remember. Years before the Buccaneer. The aircraft were in fact Meteors and Sea Venoms and Sea Vampires. So very old aircraft in those days. I think actually they also had one or two twin seater hunters, of early ones. And I think I did on that one something in the region of, well, I didn't say how many. I did 3 hours, 50 minutes slow flying at FAC. So that's quite a long time, really. And 14 controlled missions. That was on my initial course. So there we are.
What sort of notional targets were they?
Oh, they were notional targets, houses, barns, railways, trains going along, railways, boats at sea, anything. And that was it.
How did you actually indicate the targets to the pilots?
Indication was basically you had what they called a T, which was a fluorescent strip, and it was done out as a T, and you did it between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock of the T, and how many meters or yards it was from the T. That was in the very early days. We refined that, or I refined that later on. I don't think I was told. One would have known where one's own forward troops were, so therefore you would have told the aircraft where the forward troops were. I don't think I would have let any aircraft within about 800 metres of the forward troops, unless you were in a situation like Aden or Oman. But that's a later date from this basic earlier type of FAC. This was very basic first FACing, really, taking place since the war.
And what sort of unit would you be operating in when you were deployed as FAC?
Well, I've controlled aircraft from a landing craft going in, a small landing craft, or from a vehicle along a road. I'd be in a vehicle along a road in North Africa, and you would call the aircraft in from its initial point, and it would be flying at pretty low, at least 250 feet or lower, and you would do it on a time, and you would tell it to pull up, and you would explain the country. He'd have to turn through roughly 90 degrees, and you would explain from your position. You might even throw a smoke grenade out to show your position, and you would tell him how many yards the target was from your smoke on a heading of whatever it may be.
That's compass work, isn't it?
Basically, yeah.
It's like dead reckoning for the pilot by the man on the ground.
Well, that is right. Absolutely right, yeah.
But how much can you actually see when you're in the air flying at low level, at a fast speed?
Well, at low level, you can't see an awful lot. Because if you're at 250 feet, you're AK, excepting in the UK, because they like to go a bit lower. So you've got to tell them to keep up for any pylons or pylon masts in the area. It's when they pull up that you've got to start your talking. When an aircraft runs in, he'll run in for 50 seconds at generally 420 knots, which is quite fast. Then he pulls up, and each aircraft has a perambulation of, basically, he pulls up 1,500 metres and turns 1,500 metres to come down again towards his target. Phantom's obviously a bigger perambulation, Buccaneers bigger, Jaguars, I only done a few Jaguars, other Hunters was 1,500 yards. Sometimes you can attack straight low run all the way. But if you have an aircraft which is primed, this is I only learned afterwards, with an aircraft, if you have an aircraft bombing with 500-pound bombs and you run him in at low level, he may drop his, you say, you'll see a prominent, you'll go left, you'll say to him, because he's too much to the right. You'll see a church, 150 metres beyond the church is a barn, there's two enemy tanks in the barn, and he drops his bombs. If he's below 250 feet,
he goes up with them.
Well, it's not that so much, but they won't arm. This is what happened to the Argentinians in the Falklands. They didn't arm. The bomb came out, went down. When we get to a little bit further on, some years later on Ark Royal, with Buccaneers in the West Indies, half the bombs didn't go off. 1,000-pounders. They didn't have far enough to arm. Nobody cottoned this on. I didn't. Certainly the armaments people didn't, and they had to be flown out from the United Kingdom. Always a problem.
Wasn't there the idea that you would have mixed units on the ground to do this four-day controlling, mixed in the sense of being Air Force as well as Army personnel?
Well, they did have Army FACs, and they did have RAF ones. RAF, really, they couldn't spare the pilots to do the job. It should be somebody who was a pilot. I don't know why they had army ones who weren't.
Well,
but
presumably that's why they gave you that flying experience.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so. At a later date, of course, the army took over a lot of the FAC work because they had helicopter pilots. But that's, again, coming on a bit later, sort of 10 years later.
So you've done the basic Air Force.
Yeah.
Air Force strategic bombing, FAC.
Yeah.
Then I think you went to the Commando Brigade.
Yeah.
You said you joined them in Malta.
In Malta.
Were you attached to the headquarters, or were you part of a...
I started at the headquarters, 3 Commando Brigade, yeah. And I used to go with the units when the units went to North Africa. I went to the units as the FAC with the units.
To be deployed out ad hoc.
Ad hoc, yeah, as I was told by the brigade major. Also in Aden, when we went to Aden, and when we went up country in Malaya. I found them much more progressive than the army. Let me give you an idea. When I arrived, and I'd done this, and I'd done a bit of the amphibious exercises. Obviously, you can't do FAC all day because I was given various tasks to do. And one of my tasks was to do right chutes for people taking the staff exam, and also the brigade major said, right, we're going to North Africa in 4 months' time. I want you to run an exercise to take five patrols in North to North Africa out from a base and to go to various water holes about 700 or 800 miles from the base. Resupply, that's your problem. You do it. Now, I was just a captain, and not a very senior captain at that stage. And not many captains get jobs given like that and told to get on with it and come back in 6 weeks' time and tell me how far you got. I'd never, you know, never experienced this sort of thing before.
No previous experience of desert navigation?
No, nothing. Get it all organised, he said. I said, sir, and left. Well, 6 weeks later, I was able to give him an outline of what I had proposed. He said, that's pretty good. Now, what about your navigation? Because we were going down to Tibesti and Mazuk, right down the bottom towards Lake Chad, you know, down that area. And I said, well, we got sextants, and I understand several of the officers going on the patrol will have navigators, you know, they're sailors, i.e. sailors of yachts and things. I tried it. I couldn't get anywhere. You know, I was no good. So I organized this 5 patrols, and we went down to Jalo, where we took everybody, and then we dispersed, and then we went out. We got a Sea Devon to visit us once. It brought mail out. And we went away, and we all got to our... We took a... I forget what we took. 2 or 3... Land Rovers and 1 3 tonner, and we all did our patrols, and it all worked, much to my amazement.
Did you use Sun Compass at all?
Oh yes, yeah, I used Sun Compass and the sextant, and it all worked extremely well. And water, we seemed to get to where I thought there was water. I forget which. Latitude it was. We were actually wrecking the latitude to see if the water was there, but this was long before the exploration of oil in the desert. We did meet one lot of people from Shell, some idiot driving around the desert with a cross of St. George, drinking Drambuie. Absolute madman. I remember meeting him. And we had a marvellous time. We were away for 4 or 5 weeks from Malta, and we did a big. Then we did another exercise in North Africa, and then suddenly one night we were all at a party, and the brigade major said, "Go home and get your musket, Sam. We're off to Aden." So we all piled into 4 Shackleton aircraft, and. We took off, and we went to Aden, and we were briefed, and I don't know if it's a secret any longer, I don't think it is. There was a break-up of the Central Federation in Rhodesia, and we were going to be the people who were going to go out and sort it out. 120 of us. I was in a Shackleton, and I had 30 students, so-called. They were all warrant officers and sergeants and things, and we were going to go to various airports and take over all the installations.
Seize the airheads.
Beg your pardon?
Seize the airheads.
Yeah.
Were they dressed in uniform?
No, because we had to fly over the Sudan and all sorts. They were all in whatever you like.
And armed?
Yeah, we had the arms were all just... We only had light arms. They were in sacking in the hold.
So you were dressed as civilians.
Yeah.
And you had your arms concealed, and you were going to fly into...
We were going to Aden to be briefed and get the maps, and then we were going to fly... They never told us where we were going in northern and southern Rhodesia. The biggest problem was going to be the Kariba Dam.
So was the intention that you would seize and guard...
Well, nobody ever told us.
They didn't tell
us. No, we weren't told anything. People have denied that there was ever a force laid on, as I expect you will realise. Mm.
Well, I think everyone assumes there was, but it's never been officially admitted.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, we were the guys.
Yeah.
So we sat in Aden in a prisoner of war camp. We were in an awful camp. And we sat there for 3 or 4 weeks. It was appalling. And we eventually put out, put a big notice on the wire saying Belson Aden, which didn't please the commander, RAF Corps Maxa.
What did the warrant officers and sergeants think of this plan?
Well, they're quite used to it. You know, Marines are quite versatile. It was something completely new to me. I just didn't know. I mean, you know, I'd been part of a... The great thing about the Marines is they say, that's your problem. We've given you the problem. Now get on with it. And I like that attitude to life. Even to their lieutenants. Mind you, some of their lieutenants are a bit older than our lieutenants.
They used to be equivalent.
Well, they used to say that, but that was a bit of hooey because they liked to think they were. But they, I found that the Marines were excellent, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time. And we got out to, eventually from there, I went back to Malta. Some of the brigade, we were then due to move to Singapore. Some went on to Singapore. I went back to Malta because my wife was having a baby. Or the second one. Chapa was running the special boat section, looked after Jane. Saw him last week. And anyway, we all went to Singapore, got on a troop ship, went to Singapore. And we carried on in that vein. We went to Australia. We went to Aden. We went up the Gulf. I went down to East Africa, and we got on, did a lot of exercises, and learnt a lot. And I did a lot of FAC in Aden with the RAF up in the Radfan, not live, mind you, but there was trouble up there. But they weren't allowing aircraft to shoot at them.
So what were you doing? Was this training you were doing? Essentially?
Training, basically, yeah. But there was a bit of shooting up there, but it's all.
Did you get involved in shooting?
No, not there. No. Far too dangerous. I was getting too old.
Were the Marines deployed?
Well, yeah, because 4 or 5 had moved to Aden, to Little Aden, and were deployed up there.
Yeah.
They kept a company up in the Radfan all the time. But they didn't do it a lot of fighting. They were the odd skirmish.
Did you always find you had aircraft available when you wanted?
For FACing?
FAC.
Well, you see, the RAF have a funny thing. They weren't always very good. We went to Aden once. We arrived there, and I was going to do FAC. And they said, oh, well, there'll be no FACing. There'll be no air supply. Because it's the AOC's inspection. And we can't do anything for you. And we said, but this was on 6 months ago, this was planned. Ah, yes, but the AOC takes preference. Then we went to, when we were in Singapore, we went up to Asahan Range. And the RAF were quite good. We had devised a new way of firing, did some live firing there with Meteors. And Super Sabres from the Australians up at Butterworth. And we were in thick jungle or rubber. And the range, we put some targets out, Hessian screens in a clearing. And we let up hydrogen balloons so that the aircraft would know where we were. It worked, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
It must be rather difficult.
Well, you couldn't actually say. Well, actually, there were a couple of clearings, and we put out white Hessian screens,
yes.
And we couldn't see the aircraft, but we put up this orangey balloon and told them where they were, and they flew in at rather a low speed, like about 250 knots, and they generally picked up this orangey thing against a canopy of dark green, And we tried it. We did a few strikes like that. Ammunition flying all over the place.
How did they do in the mountains in Aden, then? Were they able to pick up targets there? And
they used most of their targets there were done with the old Tango method, which I told you about earlier. Fluorescent. They could see the fluorescent.
Yeah. What about the Fleet Air Arm? Did you find them easier to deal with than the Royal Air Force when you were getting...
I have to say, yes, I did. They were... you had to be careful with the Fleet Air Arm. They're rather inclined to drop their bombs wherever they feel like it. All their rockets. In those days, we had plenty of carriers out in the Far East and the Middle East, such as Victorious and Illustrious and things like that. You know, what were they? I forget what they call them, something fleet carriers, medium fleet carriers or something. And a lot of it was just dry, but when they did come with a few weapons, they were very good and they were prepared. But this has always been the Navy's attitude. We'll just prove that we're better than everybody else. I think a lot of their flying can be very dangerous. I mean, I have flown with the Navy and Buccaneers and Phantoms. And they don't mind going around oil rigs, below the oil rigs and things like that. And you think, or going up Loch Linney in Scotland at 200 feet or 150 feet. And you look out and there's a mountain there, mountain there.
There's a mountain ahead of you.
Yeah, and then you go... I've done all that sort of thing. I had great fun, and we learnt quite a lot. And we went to Australia. We didn't do any FAC in Australia. I got shifted off to the SAS, Australian SAS. For
what were you doing with them?
Well, we're doing exercises out in the area north of about 200 miles, 300 miles north of Perth, and out in the semi-desert, arid desert, and we did exercises there. And I was the umpire to the British umpire with the Australian SAS.
What were they like?
I didn't think very much of them personally in those days, but I thought they were unfit, and I thought they were arrogant. And I didn't think they were as good as our SAS by any choice. I didn't think they were much better than our Marines.
So you were saying earlier on that in Korea you found them a bit serious.
Yeah, well, these ones weren't quite so serious, but the I found that with the Australian SAS that they thought nobody could tell them anything. And they're off Cape, off Perth, there are two islands. Well, no, it's one island. It's called Rottnest Island. It's about 12 miles off Perth, and Rottnest means Rat's Nest Island. And they have a indigenous little kangaroo there called a quokka. Anyway, when we went to Western Australia after the exercise, the big exercise, we went there with the Australian chap who came with us. And there was a little old camp there, TA camp, and we were there. And then the Australian SAS said, would we like to defend the island, i.e. this was the brigade headquarters, more or less, and they would do a raid against us. And so I was told, you can be in charge of the defence of the island. And so I said, okay, fine. And we did it, and we saw them off. I mean, we absolutely saw them off. They thought we played unfair because we threw rocks down over as they landed from their landing craft. They didn't think that was fun. Well, it was fair enough. They were SAS. They should have been able to get... Anyway, we had a month in Western Australia, and it was great fun. And that was it.
When the Marines were doing their training, essentially the Marines are predominantly an infantry arm, aren't they?
Yes, they are infantry, yeah.
Were they using the same kind of tactics as you'd been trained in the Enniskillens?
Yeah, except they were, in those days, they were differently organised. They were organised as, they were in troops. They didn't have companies, they had troops. And they went over from troops, troop was about 60 or 70 people, as against a company of 100 and whatever.